thank you, Mike and Sherry. Tom, thank you very much for asking me to teach. It's a big challenge, and I appreciate your confidence in me. Anyway, several weeks ago, Tom taught us about heavenly investments, setting our thoughts on things above, not on the things of the earth. And last week, he taught us about the two choices that we have to make, the two types of information that we have to believe in this life. And he said there's fruit showing in those who depend on the evidence of the senses or those who rely on the standard of God's word. So I was thinking, how do we get to the place in our life where God's words are more living and real to us than what's going on around us? How do we get to the point that those Satan's darts at us are hurled? We can live above the world. How do we live a fruitful life for God, a life that's a glory to Him? Well, God's Word tells us quite a bit about this godly fruit, and that's what we'll be looking at this morning. So let's turn to Psalm, the very first Psalm. Psalm 1, the very first verse, it says, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. This man who meditates upon God's word day and night, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper." Please turn to Jeremiah, just a few books to the right. Isaiah, Jeremiah, chapter 17. In verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord. He shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreads out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat comes. Her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Wow, this man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. How do we trust in someone? How do we trust in the Lord, Jehovah? We believe his words. And that man will be like a tree planted by the waters, and it will never cease from yielding fruit. Look at Psalm 92. Psalm 92, verse 12. "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." Verse 14, "They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They will be fat and flourishing." Even in our old age, when the world tells us that our life is over and how useless we are, yet the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and we shall still bring forth fruit in old age. We shall be fat and flourishing. Isaiah 55, please. We're still looking at how we appropriate that godly fruit in our life. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God's words will bring forth and bud and will accomplish what he wants to see accomplished and will prosper where he sends it. Let's look in Luke. Chapter 6. Verse 43. For a good tree brings not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. That's why when we meet someone that they just have worthless things coming out of their mouth, it's because there's nothing in their heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if we want to have good things coming out of our mouth, we need to put good things in our heart. Let's look at Luke 8. We're going to take a minute and look at what is commonly known as the parable of the sower. And we're not going to actually read the parable. We're going to read Jesus Christ's explanation of the parable that starts in verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. In Matthew, when it's talking about the sower here and the seed, it talks about in time of tribulation and persecution, they are offended. At any rate, they fall away when these things happen. Verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Verse 15, but they on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. When we hear God's word, we put it in our heart, we bring forth fruit with patience. And a lot of people think that there's no choice. They have no choice about what kind of ground their life is. Well, I just happen to have a thorny ground or a rocky ground. I hear God's word, but I don't get it. Well, no, we have a choice to make, and we decide what kind of ground God's word falls on, whether we're going to believe them, whether they are going to land in the good ground and bring forth fruit. We decide. And this brings up another point here. The devil doesn't want us to hear God's word. He doesn't want us to believe and be saved. There is resistance to these words of God that we hear. He doesn't want that. Last week when Tom taught about the serpent, he went to Eve and he said, did God really say that you will not die? And that's a decision we have to make every moment of every day when we're confronted with these two choices. Are we going to believe what God's word says? Did God really say that I can prosper and be in health? Did God really say that my sins are forgiven, that Jesus Christ cleanse me from all sin. Did he really say that? Did he really make me a special person in this body of Christ, that I have something to give that only I can give and that no one else can give? Did God really say that? So we have choices to make, and we can make the right choice. Psalm 119, please. David was a man who loved God's word. He had the privilege to be able to write down a lot of God's word. And in Psalm 119, verse 10, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." That's what David did with God's word. He meditated upon those words day and night. He was blessed. He had fruit in his life. He hid those words in his heart. Look back at Proverbs, or up to Proverbs, up one book. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 20. "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." We need to guard God's words that are in our heart, and not like let anything steal them away, because they are words of life unto us. Let's look at John 15, please. Beginning in verse 4, John 15, this is Jesus Christ speaking. He says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Verse 7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." Not only do we bear godly fruit, but we get to glorify our Father in heaven. As we abide in him, he abides in us, there is going to be fruit in our life. Romans 6, please. We used to have a different kind of fruit in our life, which wasn't very pretty. But we have a different kind of fruit we can manifest now. Romans 6, verse 20. "For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness." And the word servants is the word slaves. We had no choice. We were slaves of sin. Verse 21, "What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life." The fruit that used to come out of us was death, was corruption, was rotten fruit. I don't want to have that kind of fruit coming out of my life anymore, because I'm not a slave to that kind of life anymore. We can take advantage of what God has done for us and bring forth fruit unto holiness. Colossians chapter 1, please. Verse Here we're going to see another example of God's Word bringing forth fruit. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is to come unto you as it is in all the world and brings forth fruit, as it does also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Boy, that word of the truth of the gospel, when we believe it, brings forth fruit in our life. Remember Isaiah 55? As the rain comes down and waters the earth, so is God's word. It accomplishes that which he pleases. And it prospers into the thing wherein he sends us. God's word, by way of the accomplished work of Jesus Christ, brings forth fruit. Verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, to the end that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. When God's word fills our heart, then we are going to be fruitful in every good work. God's word is his will. When we know his word, then we know his will. Colossians 3, please. Tom spent quite a bit of time with us in the past several teachings on this chapter here. Verse 1, since ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, and set your affection or your thoughts on things above, not on the things of the earth. And over in 16 here, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I noticed here in the Weymouth version of this verse, it's very clear and brings up another point that doesn't show up, and I'm not sure why it doesn't show up in the King James, because the other versions, most of them bring out this point. You can just listen here. It says, let the teaching concerning Christ remain as a rich treasure in your hearts. Wow. We can put the teaching concerning Christ in our hearts and keep it there as a rich treasure, and that treasure is going to bring forth fruit. So when we put these words in our heart, these words that give life and that produce fruit, what's going to come out of our mouth? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So look at 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 4. Verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, or a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. See, we put God's word in our heart. We let that word of Christ dwell in us richly. And then verse 11, when we speak, we can speak as the oracles of God. And when we speak, God in all things will be glorified through Jesus Christ. Let's look at Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 10. Whoops, that's not right. 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And the Weymouth also version did an incredible job with this verse, and it's very clear and easy to understand. It says, let no unwholesome words ever pass your lips, but let all your words be good for benefiting others according to the need of the moment. Wow, that is so exciting that we can bring forth these words. We can bring forth words that edify. We can bring forth words that are a blessing according to the need of the moment. So I was thinking about having that word of Christ dwelling in us richly. We keep it as a rich treasure in our hearts, and we're going to be equipped to speak those words that are the need of the moment. So I thought of some examples of what might be the need of the moment. And the first one is this person in your fellowship. Well, I'd really like to go to family camp, but I don't have the money, and besides, I'd be missing a whole week out of work. Well, what is the need of the moment? That is one choice we can make. You're right, I don't have the money. Maybe next year. No, the need of the moment. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. That's God's word. That's his promise to supply your every need. All sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. We have a choice. We can believe God's words, or we can believe what our senses are telling us. The next one. I'm having a really hard time forgiving this person. They really hurt me and didn't walk in love. The need of the moment. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What did you do to earn God's forgiveness? Did you deserve his forgiveness? No. At times we are going to hurt each other in the body of Christ. We're not going to walk in love. We're not going to rise up to all we can be and all we've been made to be. So what do we do in those instances? We're kind. We're tender-hearted. We're forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. The next one. I'm having a hard time forgiving myself after the mistake I made. That's a big one. The need of the moment. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. All sin. One of the things that came up at family camp on the goodness of God in Psalm 103, he heals all our diseases. He forgives all our iniquities. We don't deserve to be forgiven, but the blood of Jesus Christ is so big, so powerful, so cleansing. It cleanses us from all sin. My boss is being a real jerk and doesn't appreciate me. What is the need of the moment? Well, it says in 1 Peter that we are to take it patiently, and that's acceptable to God. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Work hardly as unto the Lord and not unto men. I don't know what to do after I graduate from high school. The need of the moment. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all stingily. No, who gives all liberally. What do we need in our life? What we need your wisdom, Father. I don't know what to do. We ask of God. We ask for his wisdom, and he gives liberally. My kids are grown and leaving home, and they don't need me to take care of them anymore. How about Psalm 92 we just read this morning? Even in old age, we can bring forth fruit unto God. What about Ephesians 3, when we realize that our lives are a part of the purpose of the ages? Read Ephesians 3. See how precious we are to God. See our value upon this earth, no matter how old we get. I'm sick and need to be healed. The need of the moment. Hey, that's one of the manifestations of the Spirit, which every believer has. Gifts of healing. I can take care of that for you. By his stripes, we are healed. I'm in deep trouble and I need deliverance. The need of the moment. He's delivered us from so great a death and does deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He gave us his only begotten Son. He didn't hold him back. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What do we need in this life that would be bigger than the sacrifice of his Son for us? Number 9, I am so worried about fill in the blank. The need of the moment. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we let our requests be made known unto God. And we don't just let it end there. Here's our request, God. I'm really worried about this. No, we do that with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Sometimes I'm not peaceful in my life. I need God's peace to guard my heart and my mind. I'm anxious. I'm worried about something. Well, here's a promise. We give it to God, and he gives our hearts and our minds peace. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Not just the big ones. Not the ones that you think are big enough for him to handle, but all our care. And another one here. Well, things like this happen for a reason. And we don't hear that too much amongst those that have been instructed in God's word, but sometimes we meet fellow believers who don't understand that there's a God of this world. And yes, things happen for a reason, but it's not because of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ that they happened. They happen because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. That's why these bad things happen. And we are to resist him steadfast in the faith. We don't just roll over and play get dead. Oh, well, I guess this is just my cross. I have to bear it. No. We resist him and he will flee. In the name of Jesus Christ, he has no authority over us. Take a hike. Greater in he that's in you than he that's in the world. So when we are trying to believe God's word and doing our best to put his word in our heart, there's going to be resistance. The God of this world does not want us to believe those words so that we can be saved, so that there can be godly fruit in our life. And it's not always easy to believe God's word in the face of daunting circumstances, but it can be done. Remember in Luke 8, when the word of God fell on the different types of soil, there was tribulation, mental pressure, and persecution to try to steal the words from our heart. And at times we face unpleasant realities in our lives, sometimes on a daily basis. But we are not alone with no words of God to help us. No words of God to believe. We can believe those and be delivered. Please turn to Romans 8. Paul went through a little bit of suffering too in his life. Yet in Romans 8, verse 18, he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Not worthy to be compared. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? We're tempted to think we're separated from, it says here, the love of Christ. A couple of the early texts have the love of God. We're tempted at times, I'm separated from God. He doesn't love me anymore. There's nothing he can do to help me. I've made my bed, now I have to lie in it. It's just my problem that I have is so big, these pressures that I'm facing are so big, I'm separated from God and he cannot help me. The tribulation, that mental pressure, the distress, like you're pinned against the wall or you're crammed in this little room and you can't get out. The persecution, the famine, the lack of food, or nakedness, the lack of clothing, and peril, danger. And we're tempted to think that we're separated from God. as it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long and we're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And that more than conquerors, it's a decisive victory. It's not just eking by a little bit. Oh, here's a little crust of bread. There, you're filled. No, it's a decisive victory over these challenges we have in life at times. Verse 38. For I, Paul, am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He was persuaded that these things could not separate him from God. If you're not separated from God, verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Nothing compared to his ability to be for us and to be with us and provide. So we can be convinced too. So these are realities in our lives at times, and sometimes a lot of the times. But there's a greater reality than we can believe. We can be convinced of that greater reality. One of our teachers has referred to these things in this passage as attempted intimidations of the adversary. And when we succumb to these, we live as defeated Christians. When we live as defeated Christians, then there's no fruit in our life, and God doesn't be glorified. And after all the work he did for us to send the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem us back from the hand of the enemy, I don't know about you, but I don't want my life to be a reflection of the adversary's work. I don't want the fruit in my life to be rotten fruit. After all God did for us, boy, we should just claim and cling to that promise and also be persuaded that, yes, these are realities in our life at times, but there is a greater reality. I'm going to close in Proverbs 4, so you can go ahead and turn there. So to summarize what we learned today was that as we meditate on God's words and hide them in our heart, those words accomplish what God pleases and produce fruit. The devil tries to steal the words from our heart, so we must take heed how we hear. Those who hear God's word and keep it bring forth fruit with patience. As we fill our hearts with God's words, then the words we speak will be his words, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We learned that Jesus Christ is the vine and we are the branches. When we abide in him and he in us, we bring forth much fruit, for without him we can do nothing. And by this fruit, our Father is glorified. Yes, it is challenging to always believe the right words, but we can be persuaded. We can be convinced of the greater reality. And those are the words that can be on our lips and tongues because they are hidden in our heart. And we'll close in Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Thank you.
That was wonderful. We're going to close this morning with number 37, I Shall Not Be Moved. You can all stand to sing it. Number 37.